All right, everybody, welcome back to the Engineering Entrepreneur Podcast. This is episode 155, and as always, this is your host, Scott Tarsi. I run caddesignhelp.com. Go to my website, check it out. A lot of good info on there. Sign up for the email list on that on the site, and then you'll get an update on all the podcasts. Check out my online course, How to Become an Engineering Entrepreneur. Leave me a review on iTunes or whatever podcast app you use, and send me an email for any requests or feedback. I'd love to hear what people think of the show, what they don't like. I never hear anything, so who knows if I'm doing this right or not. But my email is info@caddesignhelp.com. All right, guest this week is Mitchell Eaton, and he's the director of product at ProTech, which from the research I've done seems to be, lack of a better word, another Proto Labs or Stratasys or Quick Parts or one of these, online, places you can order, your 3D printer, or CNC, but maybe he's got something different that you'll talk to us about. So Mitch, thanks for coming on. I guess tell us about yourself first, then we'll jump into ProTech.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. My love of all things mechanical started at a young age. I ultimately did go on to do a degree in mechanical engineering, but my grandfather and my father, growing up on a farm with them, really instilled a love for a lot of things mechanical. Taking apart mechanical things as a young boy and putting them back together, working on trucks and stuff on the farm.
You had to because it would take too much time to hire somebody. Many times something broke in the way it around, right? You just kind of become self-sufficient, that kind of thing.
That's right. Yeah. Living in Northern Saskatchewan does pose its problems with procuring parts and good mechanics and stuff. So, but after that, I decided to do a degree in mechanical engineering. So I graduated in 2014 from the University of Alberta in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, with a degree in mechanical engineering. I went on to work in industry as a design, manufacturing, general mechanical engineer for various industries like construction, equipment, things like that. And then in 2018, I decided that I was going to try my hand at being an entrepreneur, first-time solo founder. And I co-founded a company called Prototype Hubs. And at that time, it was a online marketplace for procuring custom manufactured parts like CNC machined or 3D printed water jet laser cut parts. I ended up developing a piece of software using AI and machine learning to automate the quoting process for individual manufacturers, found some co-founders along the way, did that for about 5.5 years, and then ultimately exited to ProtoTech, which acquired us in July of this year. And have joined them now, and we've integrated our software and our technology into the ProtoTech organization.
So let's talk about that first company, because that's pretty interesting to me. That's a very competitive marketplace with Proto Labs, Quick Parts. Yep. There's so many of these. I mean, how were you able to get customers? Was it based on price, or was there some other thing that
Sure.
you did?
Yeah. So for us, the idea was that. And it wasn't originally an idea to start a marketplace. The idea was that if we could automate an individual's manufacturing pricing process, we could do something with that. So like we weren't looking to just say, hey, customers, come and find out, or find a place to get your next 3D printed part. We were saying, what if we could take manufacturers' inputs, their pricing inputs, take the CAD file that we knew we could extract geometry from, and then say, hey, if we can automate all these manufacturers, whoever is able to or wants to automate their quoting process, what could we do with that? And then we came up with the idea, well, we could actually start a marketplace where customers could come, upload their part files, and then interact and get quotes from local and global manufacturers on an open, transparent marketplace that allowed the customer to choose who they wanted to work with as a manufacturing partner. So we were quite different from, competitors in the space like Xometry or even Proto Labs who acquired Hubs, who is a closed style marketplace. So like the big differentiator for us at that point was open concept marketplace where each individual manufacturer's pricing was displayed because they had set up their pricing and it was their own pricing and not just a standard set price.
I see. Okay. So Proto Labs, Xeometry, they all have their automated systems just like you.
Yep.
Probably very similar. But the difference is you upload your part. Here's the price, like for a 3D print. Here's the price for CNC, whatever it is. Whereas yours, you upload it and you're getting, you know, because you're not hiding. They're hiding who's actually making it. They're not making most of the stuff in-house, from my understanding. They're partnering with people,
correct,
wherever they might be,
to
get it made, and then they're marking it up. But they're not – I don't know how they decide. They probably just take whatever is the highest margin for them is what they're probably doing. But you guys would, I'm assuming, add in a cut to all these other guys, but, like, you can shop all in one place, you know, versus having to open up multiple tabs. Like, I'm going to go to Proto Labs here, I'm going to go to Xeometry here, you know, which is what I typically do when I'm looking to outsource. You know, I get like three or four quotes, but you guys just hold it all into one. And if people get three or four, they may not even look at other places because they're like, well, I already got three or four. So that kind of does set you apart. So that works, seemed to work pretty well then, huh?
Yeah, and another thing was we allowed direct-to-manufacturer communication. So the customer could actually chat with the people who were producing their parts, right? So if the manufacturer had questions about maybe a hole or a specific tolerance or a thread, they could reach out to the customer, and vice versa. The customer could reach out directly to the manufacturer about getting their parts made. So it was this kind of, you know, one-stop shop for customers to come to interact on various levels with manufacturers of their choice, knowing exactly who they were going to be sending their parts to. Ultimately, we ended up...
I got a few more questions for you.
Sure.
You
move on. Go ahead.
So with a situation like that, did you have problems with the customer and the manufacturer going on their own, right? Because then cut you out, then you would lose your fee. So how do you prevent that from happening? Or
sure.
did that not really happen?
I wouldn't say it happened much that we know of, because we did have transparency into all the online communication. So what we determined was that the value that we added to a customer was that the customer could get an instantaneous quote from multiple manufacturers. So they knew that they were getting at least a competitive price, and they didn't have to wait to go and get an RFQ or wait for a manufacturer to get back to them. So if they just went around us and went to another, directly to a manufacturer, they were kind of going back to the old way of doing things, which was, oh, I got to send an RFQ. It's Christmas Day or New Year's Day or whatever. And I got to wait for a week and a half for these guys to get back to me. I got to know what their lead time is, all that kind of stuff. So there was value on the customer side from a time perspective. On the manufacturer side, they had done all the work up front to set up their account and then let it run autonomously, bringing them customers. So for them, it didn't really make sense to reach out to a customer because all the work was being done while they were sleeping or running their machines or, you know, behind the scenes because they had done all the upfront work.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. All right. So, moving on from there, let's pick up where you were going to take off.
Yeah. So I was just going to say that, after, you know, we had launched the marketplace, we actually had quite a few manufacturers. I think at the time we had 300 or 400 manufacturers onboarded at that point. And we wanted, they reached out to us and said, we really love your product, your services. We love the UI. We love the UX. Would you white label this and sell it to us so we could run it on our own websites? And so we did, and we sold what we called Manufacturer OS directly to manufacturers where they could take, if they were running a machine shop or a sheet metal shop or a fabrication shop, they could take and paste a link on their site that would direct them to a site that was branded with their branding, essentially running Manufacturer OS, allowing customers to go directly to a manufacturer and get an instantaneous quote for them. So that was a really cool kind of feedback that we got, and it just opened up another business model for us at that time.
So you ran that. So that seems like a direct competitor. Like, you almost cannibalized your own sales in a way of doing that. Like, yeah, you made the sale to them, but now you're not making the sales as a middleman to the customer anymore because they're going straight to these guys' websites.
It's kind of goes both ways. So we had manufacturers who only wanted to, they never wanted to be a part of our manufacturing marketplace. And they don't even want to be a part of competitors like maybe Xeometry or Hubs in this case. They just want to do their own thing. So we offered a service to customers that we would, or to manufacturers that we never would have attracted in the first place. The second thing was that we had manufacturers who offered both. So they thought it was a great idea where they could have exposure on the Prototype Hubs marketplace, and then they would also have exposure on their own website, which they were trying to drive traffic to organically as well. So, and then we obviously had manufacturers who only wanted to offer their services on our marketplace. So the manufacturer OS didn't really appeal to them in that place.
Okay. And so you as a mechanical engineer, did you, I mean, you didn't develop the software, right? I mean, you weren't really trained in that, I'm assuming. So you
Right.
had somebody, you
Yeah.
had a, someone else in your team that did that, or you just outsourced that to,
Correct.
a
Yeah,
freelancer or something?
No, so what happened was I initially started working on it myself, and I realized my skills in manufacturing were probably greater than my skills in coding. And so I did some outreach for looking for some co-founders. And I met this really great guy. I was looking on Upworks, this freelance website, and we had this project that we were doing. We needed to have some certain things done by a certain timeline. So I'm like, I'll just hire it out. So I found this really great guy. He was living in Ontario, Canada at the time. Hired him. He got it done. Like, he exceeded my expectations. He worked for me as a contractor for 3 months. And I said, like, hey, we work well together. I know a lot about manufacturing. You know a lot about coding computers, building software, all these types of things. We make a great team. We have complementary skills to each other. Are you interested in joining? Like, I'll quit paying you as a contractor. I'll give you some equity in the company. You'll come on board. And he thought about it for, 15, 20 seconds. He's like, yeah. And so it was like, I'm like, wow, that was easier than I thought. And so his name's Tien. He was my co-founder. He's now the director of software engineering at Prototech. So when Prototech acquired Prototype Hubs, all of our team came over, including my co-founders. And now we're all at Prototech. Yeah.
Okay, so did you guys just do 50-50 equity then?
We actually brought on another co-founder as well. So when we started getting into like using AI and machine learning, we had been dabbling in it, but it wasn't really proficient to the point where like we were confident enough in it. So we reached out kind of in the same fashion, looking for somebody that would do a project for us, work together for a month again, and then asked him if he was interested in joining as well. And he said, yeah, and kind of same ordeal. So there was three of us, and we ended up, splitting it equally in terms of, input and effort and sweat equity and things like that.
Okay, so one third each, and then you guys, and that was like what, 2018. So you built it up from there,
Yeah.
and were able to exit to Prototech, which
Yeah.
is probably
Yeah,
a
so
pretty
Prototech.
cool thing to do that.
Yeah, so Prototech, a major kind of player in the space, but I'd say has been around for quite a while as a traditional manufacturing shop. So Prototech's been around since 1987. And they were traditionally started out in sheet metal, so laser machines, press brakes, all that kind of stuff. And then they went through some transformations. Some private equity firms came along, made some investments. And then in late 2022, they reached out to us and said, like, we see what's happening in the industry, how digitization and manufacturing is moving forward. We don't want to get left behind, and so we want to be able to, keep tabs on what you're doing. And then, if there's some types of synergies here, maybe we can see what works out in the end. And so in July of this year, ultimately we closed with Prototech. And our technology and our team were a big reason behind the acquisition, because it allowed Prototech to essentially get a jump start on what they had, right? So now Prototech's business model is a little bit different than Prototype Hub. So Prototech is an in-house manufacturer. They have six different locations across the US, between 250 to 300 employees at any one time. Tons of CNC machines, lathes, water jets,
Right, okay,
wire,
right, yeah.
EDMs, right?
So, right, so they have like so much equipment that they can make anything. There's no point
Exactly.
in bringing a third party. It's just going to add cost. And with that many locations, they can also use a location that has more capacity, better with shipping. There's a lot of
That's right.
factors there of like, okay,
Yeah.
we're sending a big heavy metal part here. Let's use the closest place. Oh, we're doing a 3D print. It's very light, very cheap to ship. This factory over here, this side of the country, has more capacity. So even though it's far away, we'll use them because it's going to cost nothing to ship it back. I imagine this is the kind of thing that goes through and there's probably some software that's optimizing it. Is that right? Sound about right?
That's correct. So, like, for example, Prototech services a bunch of Fortune 100 companies. And with our location out in California, being close to companies like Apple and SpaceX, that really allows us to serve those types of customers more readily than, say, somebody that's located on the East Coast that maybe is even outsourcing. So, like, some of the competitors in this space, if you're looking at a Xometry or Protolabs or Hubs, the customers, again, don't know who they're getting their parts from. But then with Prototech, it's like, oh, I know that Prototech has a location in California. I'm going to upload my parts, submit them online, and I know that they're going to be produced relatively close to me because I know that their location has the credentials and everything that I need to get these parts done.
Yeah, exactly. And I imagine if you're close enough, you can go pick it up if you wanted to or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
No, it's very so. Okay, so when you guys, so you guys develop with, so let's talk about AI because that's obviously a hot
Sure.
topic, but also like you patent the software. Like I'm trying to understand
Yeah.
like what goes on there, because obviously like the physical product, you want to patent it so that when you we're going to sell it to a company, they don't just steal it and not even pay you. I imagine it's, is that, do you patent the software so that you don't have the same issue happen here?
So, yeah, good question. Software patents are kind of a whole animal of their own. At Prototype Hubs, we decided that we were going to be a proprietary technology company. So we vetted who we had working with us, whether we were bringing on an employee. When I was bringing on co-founders, I vetted those people very heavily for months at a time, and then only gave them certain access to certain areas of our code repository. And so we decided at that point that it just wasn't worth the hassle for us to go through and patent our technology, because we are a proprietary technology and we had access to who knew what the bells and whistles and the secret sauce was. With Prototech, however, though, being, private equity backed, we do have the optionality to apply for patents for the technology. And since Prototech, it acquired Prototype Hubs and brought over all of our technology, that process, is in place. And it's kind of like this idea where patents for software, like I said, are a whole different animal. You have to kind of know what you're doing, and there's a lot of areas where you might not know what you're doing, so you have to have the right people on your team to get through that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So let's talk about like how AI works with all this.
Yeah. So AI in manufacturing, there's many different areas in manufacturing that I think are ripe for optimization with AI. Obviously, with us, the back office, or what we call the back office, the administrative tasks, the quoting process, determining lead times, things like that, I think there's a lot of data out there that can be used to create AI models to help automate and optimize those types of back-end offices. Now, obviously, there's things that people are doing around machining, like CAD programs, using AI to help predict or determine certain CAD, CAM, sorry, CAM files with tool paths and things like that, optimization of tool paths, right? So with Prototech and AI, for us, the low-hanging fruit is, how can we quote faster? How can we quote more accurately? How can we get more quote requests in and return them quicker? And using AI to do that is a really good way to expedite those processes. Now, it does require a lot of data, millions of data points to be able to take something like, let's say, for example, determining the lead time on a specific part or a run of parts. Looking at past data, you can take the complexity of the parts, you can take the material, you can take the actual machine and the data of the machine that it's being run on. You can feed it into a machine learning model or an AI model, and you can start to spit out things like, oh, this is how much setup time this should take. This is how much runtime this should take. And if you change this tool, this is how much your runtime will change by. So there's lots of different areas that AI, I think, is useful for in the manufacturing space.
Okay, very interesting. All right, cool. Well, let me get towards wrapping up here, but is there anything else you want to say about Prototech that we hadn't touched on?
Yeah, I think if you have anybody that out there that's looking to get custom manufactured parts, you want to know who's producing your parts with the quality that they're producing them at, and you actually want to chat to a directly to the manufacturer or an engineer that works for the company, I think Prototech is definitely an option to check out. And with the new instant quote platform, Prototech IQ, it just makes things easier and levels the playing field for people that might be already using an online quoting platform. And so definitely check it out, iq.prototech.com, or go to prototech.com and select get a quote, and it'll take you there. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So you already gave us the contact info, iq.prototech.com.
Yeah, so that's the website. If you don't want to type it into your address bar, just go to Google, type in Prototech, take you to the homepage, and you'll see get a quote button.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, usually the last two questions are contact info. You kind of gave that. Do you want to give out yours, or you just want people to go to that site?
Sure. Yeah, I'm fairly active on LinkedIn. You can look me up, Mitchell Eaton, MITCHELL, last name EATON. My email is also meaton, so MEATON at prototech.com. And I usually am pretty responsive on email as well. So you guys can get a hold of me through either one of those channels.
All right, cool. And then we'll switch questions around then. So what you've done up, you have a lot of experience in being a founder in manufacturing. Mm-hmm. I guess what's your number one tip for engineers and people out there?
Yeah, I'd say, don't be afraid to try something new. Definitely there's a lot of technology being used out there in engineering and manufacturing. And if you see something that can be optimized or maybe done more efficiently, don't be afraid to try it.
Very good advice. All right, Mitchell, thanks so much for your time, and we'll catch everyone next time on the podcast.